Hello, and welcome to another edition of the Regarding ID podcast. I'm Gina Jordan. The National Institute of Standards and Technology, known as NIST, recently led a workshop with international experts on tattoo recognition. The goal is to improve the technology that could help law enforcement identify criminals and victims. 20% of American adults have a tattoo, and that percentage is much higher among criminals. Tattoos can also be used to help identify victims of mass casualties, like earthquakes. Mei An, a computer scientist at NIST, led the workshop.
This work was initiated by the FBI Biometric Center of Excellence. Traditionally, law enforcement have used tattoos to support the investigation and identification of criminals and victims. And I mean, tattoos can provide not only unique information regarding a person, but they can provide clues as to, you know, things like gang affiliations, group affiliations, and things like that. And traditionally, tattoos have been collected by law enforcement and labeled using a text-based labeling approach. And the NCINA standard actually has a section on how to collect tattoos and how to label them. And unfortunately, the text-based labeling approach isn't adequate because while there are 70 subclass labels in the standard, it's very, very coarsely defined. So multiple examiners can label one image in a very, very different way. For example, the label cat. A wildcat can be labeled cat. Hello Kitty can be labeled cat. So while they're both cats, they visually look very, very different. So that poses a problem when someone gets an image and they're interested in trying to find visually similar images in a database, and you type in cat and you get a huge variation in terms of similarity.
NIST started looking at the problem and launched the Tattoo Recognition Technology Challenge. The goal of what's become known as TAT-C is to assess the state-of-the-art in image-based tattoo matching. Can computer algorithms extract features unique to the image itself and find other visually similar images in a database?
Since we launched TAT-C September 2014, we've had six organizations submit algorithm results to NIST for evaluation. And just a note, TAT-C was administered as a take-home test. So the BCOE provided us with a data set partitioned around five operational use cases. It contained ground truth data that was done by biometric examiners. So we distributed the data to the participants, and then they went and ran the images on their algorithm and then submitted their results back to NIST. The culminating event was what happened at the TAT-C workshop, where we had folks from the U.S. government who had operational needs and demand drivers come to the workshop along with all six participants, and everyone did a presentation, and we had discussions, very, very good discussions related to image-based tattoo matching, the needs, the successes, the challenges. We talked about where the current state of the art is with regards to each and every one of the five use cases. And then we discussed right now, operationally, while there is a standard for collecting tattoos, the standards need to be updated because it doesn't include optical specifications. It doesn't include, well, you know, illumination requirements and, you know, orientation and make sure you don't have clothing in the way, you know, things like that. Things that pose challenges to the algorithms.
The workshop participants reported their performance on finding visually similar or related tattoos from different subjects, different instances of the same tattoo image from the same subject over time, a small region of interest that is contained in a larger image, visually similar or related tattoos using different types of images, such as sketches or computer graphics, and whether an image contains a tattoo.
The workshop was very successful, in my opinion. When we had the discussion regarding best practices for collecting tattoos, the algorithm developers really did emphasize these distractors, the quality of the images that were collected. If we could improve upon that, algorithm performance would probably improve by quite a bit. And these things include try not to capture patterned clothing in the field of view. We also discussed lighting. We discussed, you know, how big the images should be, how big the tattoo image should be related to the entire image. We also discussed the performance because there were some use cases the algorithms fared quite well in. These include tattoo detection. Can the algorithms detect whether an image contains a tattoo or not? Can an algorithm find the same tattoo from the same person but collect it at a different time? Can the algorithms find a portion or a region of the same tattoo from the same person, find the bigger image that it came from over time? And those use cases, the participants fared quite well in. The top-performing algorithms, they scored well above 90% accuracy hit rate. And then there were use cases such as what we call mixed media. So taking not a tattoo image, but a sketch, for example, a symbol, logo, you know, any sort of non-tattoo image, and trying to find visually similar images, tattoo images, in the data set. Algorithms need development and improvement in that aspect. Also, what we call tattoo similarity. So visually similar tattoos from different people collected at different times on different body locations. That posed a problem as well. And one of the aspects of this is there's what we call a semantic gap. So what humans see as similar versus what computer vision algorithms can see as similar is very different because humans, they have what we call a higher level of intelligence. So take an MS-13 gang tattoo, for example. There's an M, there's an S, there's a 13. Okay, that's an MS-13 gang tattoo. The M and the S can be in completely different locations, written in different fonts. Same with the 13. There could be embellishments around the various tattoos, but we as humans can identify that because we've got that background and higher level of intelligence. Whereas computer algorithms, they don't have that. They're working off of the unique features of an image, shape, color, edges, things like that. So it poses a challenge to the algorithms to be able to find what we consider visually similar.
Tattoos are not considered a primary biometric because they can't uniquely identify a person, but they can provide secondary support when the primary biometric isn't available.
For example, during the tsunami, victims of the tsunami, you know, many of their fingerprints and faces were just gone. So a lot of them were able to identify folks with tattoos and find who they were that way. There's person identification. You can support identifying a person, gang affiliation, but there was a presentation at the workshop. Child exploitation. So I think the number was 75% of perpetrators have a tattoo. So being able to use the tattoo information while, you know, their faces, you know, are occluded to find the perpetrator has applications. Also, identification of missing children. That was another application that came up at the workshop. And then there are other things such as threat assessments, right? Okay, if someone's at the border and they have a tattoo, the officer wants to find out, well, is this person a threat? And I need to find that out now.
The TATSE program ran for about 8 months and is considered preliminary because it was administered as a take-home test. But An says the workshop produced valuable outcomes and recommendations.
The discussion was very interesting and I thought very fruitful. All the algorithm developers, of course, they'd like to see more data. The more data you have, the more, you know, development you can do. Also, just best practices, you know, how to basically add in information that will help the field officers out there to just give them some guidance as to, you know, what's the best way to collect a tattoo, right? So I think a poster for how to collect tattoos would be helpful just so that people have a visual idea of, okay, well, you know, this is right versus this is wrong. Try not to include any clothing or background distractors in the image. Try to have plenty of lighting, things of that nature. And that's currently not in the standard right now. And then there are discussions regarding, well, similarity. Similarity is too broad of a definition, right? Okay, and what humans see as similar may not be what computer vision algorithms see as similar. So we need to be able to define what is considered similar specific to the law enforcement task at hand. That work, I think, needs to occur. And then ultimately, when we get to a point where the algorithms are at a certain, you know, accuracy level based off of these rounds of open book tests, we would like to run a sequester evaluation where, you know, we have data in-house and the participants send their algorithms to us to run a closed book test, if you will. And, I mean, that will give us the opportunity to do bigger galleries, like bigger database sizes, and also assess things like runtime because different applications have different runtime requirements. For an officer in the field who just arrested someone, they need to find out, is this person a threat? And they need the information very, very quickly. Whereas if, you know, it's someone in the office doing sort of investigative research for, you know, low-profile case, for example, then they may be able to have looser runtime requirements.
Right now, all of the work regarding tattoo recognition is being done, at least in part, by humans and is very resource-intensive. An says a human will always have to be in the loop because a higher level of intelligence will always be needed in tattoo recognition.
We had someone from the Cryptanalysis Racketeering Records Unit do a presentation, and they have a service where if you submit a tattoo or a symbol or something like that, they will find you other tattoos or other symbols and basically say, this is where we've seen this before. And he said, it's basically three humans doing the work full time. So what I would like to see is algorithms get to a point where they can just submit images to an application. And then the application can spit out, you know, these are the images that you're looking for. And it's never going to be lights out. It's never going to be completely automated. But being able to remove the human part of having to sift through thousands of images to find the right match or whatever, that's ultimately where we would like to go. We're still trying to figure out whether we would progress with round two, which is more data, maybe more use cases, more well-defined definitions of similarity, things of that nature. But we need also to figure out the resources available. And also, you know, moving forward, we'd like to put out best practices. And my colleague, Brad Wang, who is the NCNIST standard coordinator, he has on his plate to put out mobile best practices for a number of biometric modalities. And tattoos is actually included on this list. So we should be seeing that out sometime this year.
Mei An is a computer scientist at NIST and the organizer of TATC. NIST has been testing and evaluating the accuracy of biometrics for more than half a century, playing a key role in biometric research. Thank you for joining us for this edition of the Regarding ID podcast.